Non-federal organizations and contractors might have sensitive federal information on their computers, but there haven't been consistent rules on how to keep that information secure. The treatment of controlled unclassified information is the focus of a new set of recommendations. Ron Ross is a National Institute of Standards and Technology fellow. He's the lead author of that new guide, and he joins me now. Ron, good morning. Great to have you back.
Good morning, Tom. It's great to be back with you this morning.
All right. So talk about controlled unclassified information on non-governmental computers. That could be almost anywhere.
Well, CUI, or controlled unclassified information, is a definition that came out of the executive order back in 2010, signed by the president. And it really is federal information that's considered sensitive. And it's deemed sensitive because it's called out specifically either in a statute, a regulation, or some kind of a federal policy, and it requires special safeguarding and dissemination control. So it could be information like privacy information, healthcare records, budget information. You would recognize a lot of these types of information classes or types that the feds typically process, store, and transmit.
And this is different from the information that maybe military contractors have that would be secret or classified.
Yes, it's not classified information. That is covered by a specific statute, but there is a category that the Defense Department uses called controlled technical information, which is, in essence, CUI, or controlled unclassified information. That could be design things that are for weapon systems and things that are not classified but are still considered sensitive.
And we know in that case that there has been a lot of taking of information in an unauthorized fashion. So I guess we should also worry about the CUI that is out that we're talking about now, which is, as you say, privacy, health, budget types of information.
Well, it's true. There's so much connectivity now, and there's a lot more outsourcing with the federal government than ever before. So this type of sensitive information is not only within the federal government, but is out in any place where the feds are interacting under contract or any kind of relationship.
And these guidelines that NIST has developed, you worked with NARA also, you know, in developing these?
Yes, it's a joint project. It, as I said, started back in 2010 with the executive order, and NARA has been busy for the last several years developing standardized naming conventions. So, you know, we have a lot of different types of data in the federal government, and one of NARA's first projects in this CUI executive order as the executive agent was to standardize all the different data types. So they developed a registry, which is available at their website, and it lists every type of federal data by category and subcategory. So people can go onto the website and they can see if they have that type of information, how it's controlled. And the second step in their process was to define specific safeguarding instructions for that data when people have that type of CUI.
All right. And so do these apply to the federal government or do these apply to the organizations that have federal information?
Well, that was part of their project. They're working on what they call a CUI rule. It's the Code of Federal Regulations. The number is 32 CFR, and that sets the minimum level of protection for CUI within federal information systems. And that is in process of going through approval now. I believe it's at OMB, and they're going through the final staffing on that. That sets the minimum level at the using the NIST standards and guidelines at the moderate level of protection, which comes out of one of our federal standards that you might have seen called FIPS 199.
But so what about
Go ahead. That takes care of the federal side of the house.
And what about the universities, state and local governments, tribal governments, the ones that you mentioned that also do work for or on behalf of the government or just have government, federal government data in the course of their own work?
Well, that's where this special publication comes in. In order for the requirements to be mandatory, these protection requirements for the confidentiality of CUI, there has to be a federal acquisition regulation that actually puts those requirements into effect as part of federal contracts. So as part of this three-step plan that that NARA is developing, the first step was the one I mentioned, establishing the minimum protection requirements for the federal government. The next step was to work with NIST to develop this special publication 800-171, which specifically defines the requirements by different families that will be needed to protect that CUI when it is in a contracting or a non-federal environment. And then they plan to work on, this is NARA, the third step would be to develop sometime in 2015, start a federal acquisition rulemaking process, which would, once completed, it would point to the NIST special publication, and then it would be mandatory for every federal agency, anytime they go into a contract, these requirements would be part of the contract. So if there were CUI going out to a any kind of a contracting organization, if there was a relationship with a university or some other non-federal organization, these requirements would be in play. Today, we just don't have a lot of consistency within that whole process.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're trying to get at is a little bit more interoperability between the whole security practices and the way data is viewed between federal and non-federal entities.
That's exactly the objective. You know, we have so much data today, and just having standardized naming conventions, so when we call a piece of data by a certain name, we understand what it is and how it's to be protected. That's enormously important with regard to interoperability, because establishing the trust when information moves from the federal side to other federal agencies, or when it goes from the federal government out to the private sector or to state and local governments, understanding how the information is to be protected, it generates a level of trust within the partnership, whether it's the public-private partnership or even amongst ourselves. So it's very important that this type of work go forward, because the outsourcing will continue, and the networking and the amount of information, the types of things we're doing within the federal government are just going to grow over time.
We're speaking with Ron Ross. He's a National Institute of Standards and Technology Fellow and the lead author of the latest publication, 800-171. Now, this is in draft form, and so you're looking for comments until when?
Well, it is in draft form, and as with all publications, we really seek federal and private sector input across all of our customer base. The publication will be out for comment until January the 16th, and at that time, we'll assemble all of our public comments that we receive. We will go undertake the next draft, and we hope to have the next public draft, possibly the final draft, out by March. The intent is to have the publication finalized by June of 2015, so it will be in line with whatever the federal acquisition regulation looks like at that point in time.
So there's two parallel activities, in other words, development of a FAR rule and also development of these guidelines for the final version of 171?
That's correct, and we're coordinating with NARA on the whole process. In essence, we have to have our special publication finished so they can point to it at the appropriate time. So this is why we put this on the fast track. And again, it's a much simpler publication than a lot of our special publication for 853, for example, has well over 400 pages of security controls. This one has been distilled down to about 36 pages. So it's something any CIO or any mission or business owner can get their arms around very quickly.
And so if they were to get the gist of it, what would be the chief controls or the chief types of activities that these organizations need to do to protect the CUI consistent with what you're publishing?
Well, what we did is since the executive order requires NAR to use the NIST standards and guidelines, we started with our FIPS publication 200, which is a very high-level set of security requirements, minimum requirements for federal systems, and these would be very recognizable: access control, identification, authentication, incident response, personnel security. It goes across the entire set of families. Now, we also went into 800-53, our control catalog, at the moderate level, because that's the minimum level that NARA established for CUI protection. But we tailored the requirements and the controls, eliminating all of those that were related to availability, because we're concerned more with the confidentiality of the data, not the availability of it. We also eliminated uniquely federal requirements, things that only the federal government is required to do. They wouldn't be appropriate for non-federal organizations. And then we also tailored out certain things that we didn't feel we had to specify specifically for contractors. They were already likely doing these things. So when you apply that tailoring criteria, you end up with a set of families that mirror most of what we had in our special publication 853, but in a much more tight and narrow focus. So it comes down to about 36 pages, and that's a very good thing, because it's very clear, concise, and a tight set of requirements.
And you mentioned contractors and other governmental organizations that are not at the federal level. Would this apply to both contractors and grantees, and would it apply to, you know, people doing work for the government under grants also?
Yes, it would apply to any federal, non-federal organization, I should say. Currently, OMB, in their FISMA reporting guidance, addresses the contractor and the grantee type of organizations. But the federal guidance now under the OMB doesn't have any specific requirements. So this is a way to achieve some specificity and also some consistency. So if you're in a state and local government and you're dealing with the federal government, you understand exactly what's required if you do end up processing, storing, and transmitting this controlled unclassified information. So it gives you a little more of a sense of confidence. You know what the expectations are.
And do you have any sense of whether contractors are ahead of the game versus governmental entities or vice versa in this whole effort?
You know, I think this is a mixed bag. I think just like you would see within the federal government and the private sector, organizations, some are very mature in how they're applying their cybersecurity programs. Others are less mature. Sometimes you can have a very mature program and you can be the victim of a high-end advanced cyber attack. And there could be bad results coming out of that. So that it's really a mixed bag, and I think you'll find in the contracting community that'll be reflective of what we see in the federal government and other places as well.
All right, we'll have to see what those comments say. Ron Ross is a National Institute of Standards and Technology Fellow. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Have a great day.